Please be seated. Every year when Lent rolls around, I invariably think about my first year in seminary. You see, I thought I understood Lent before I went to seminary, and boy, was I wrong. Because Swanee, where I went to seminary, simply pulls out all the stops when it comes to this season. I saw vestments and liturgy and services and rituals, things that I'd never seen in all my years as an Episcopalian. And I think the idea of if it exists in the prayer book, well, maybe we should do it all in one service, was never more prevalent in Swanee than during Holy Week. The Palm Sunday service started in the courtyard by the quad, where we began with the Liturgy of the Palms and we processed into All Saints Chapel, which is the main university church, but it's bigger than a chapel. It's more like a grand cathedral-like building. And during that service, All Saints had all the smells and bells you would expect from as high a church service as you have ever been to. It was beautiful, but it was also really long. And beginning on Monday of Holy Week at the seminary chapel, we had morning prayer each day, evening prayer, and compline, the last service of the day, each day. And of course, as seminarians, we were expected to attend everything. Also, each day there would be a noon Eucharist in the seminary chapel. And since the seminary didn't have a Sunday service of their own, Wednesday served as the seminary Sunday. And we would use the lectionary readings from the previous week, which means on Wednesday, we did Palm Sunday all over again. Then, of course, we had our Maundy Thursday service, complete with foot washing and the stripping of the altar. And while using all, and I do mean all, of the service music that could possibly be used for that service. On Good Friday, the first service was at 7 o'clock a.m., but the main community service was at noon. The university would block off the main street, and classes were canceled, and the community would process from another chapel on campus to All Saints, while various people would carry this huge wooden cross, and every 50 yards or so, the procession would stop and someone would read one of the stations. And it was really an impressive service. And then the community would enter All Saints for our Good Friday service, where a member of the seminary faculty would always deliver the Good Friday sermon. Now, I don't know what it is about All Saints Chapel that makes normally wonderful preachers seem to forget everything they have learned. But that was the case during the 45-minute sermon. Saturday morning, there was the Holy Saturday liturgy at the seminary chapel, and the Easter vigil begins at All Saints at 8 o'clock that evening. And then, the seminary, of course, has to have its own Easter vigil service, which is really part Easter vigil and part sunrise service, which begins at 4 o'clock a.m. on Easter Sunday morning. The new fire is built, the Paschal candle lit, from which we all light our candles and we process together into the church, and the entire 2.5-hour service, with the exception of the sermon, is chanted. And then, following the beautiful yet long service, the seminary community is treated to a breakfast feast in the refectory, complete with well-deserved mimosas. But then, of course, you have enough time to get home, freshen up a little bit, and then to get to Easter morning services at All Saints. The university called it Holy Week. Seminarians called it Hell Week. And I know I've told you this part of the story before, but Lori and I had planned to go to our parents' house in Huntsville for Easter Sunday, so we didn't wake the kids and make them go to the vigil at the seminary. So when Lori and I got home, we laid down just for a minute to get some rest. Maybe it was the week we had just been through. Maybe it was the mimosas. But sometime much later, our daughter Blair woke us up and said, "Aren't we going to Huntsville? Did y'all forget about Easter?" And in a way, we had. We were trying so hard to keep up with everything during the course of that week that here we are in our first year of seminary, and neither Lori or I or our kids made it to Easter Sunday service. We literally missed Easter. In a very real way, I think that's the message that Jesus is trying to get across to Peter in today's gospel lesson. Just prior to this text, Jesus has proclaimed Peter as the rock, the foundation of the church, the keeper of the keys of the kingdom. But today he calls Peter Satan and a stumbling block. That's a pretty rough week. A pretty rough week to go from hero to goat in a matter of days, all because he doesn't want Jesus to suffer and die. But you see, the problem is, Peter forgot about Easter. You see, for most Jews, the idea of a Messiah was one who would restore the kingdom of Israel, a real kingdom, an earthly kingdom. And Peter was probably feeling pretty good about his part in things, until today, of course. Peter didn't understand that this kingdom that Jesus had been talking about was more than an earthly kingdom, and instead would require them to pass through the shadow of the cross before any of them could get to Easter. Peter didn't get the idea that being a follower wouldn't be easy, that carrying a cross was actually a requirement for membership. Peter didn't understand that bearing a cross was actually a choice. It's something we do deliberately because we believe, because we have faith, and sometimes because it's all we know to do. And it's here where I believe Jesus is speaking to us just as directly as he was to Peter. Jesus said, deny yourself and take up your cross. Literally bend over and pick it up. That means there's a choice. And I think it means that sometimes the crosses we bear as followers are the conscious decisions we make that might very well be against our human nature. And that's not easy for any of us. It means, as I told the kids, things like loving each other, including, and sometimes especially those who seem so sadly unlovable. It means forgiving each other, even when we don't particularly believe forgiveness is deserved. It means reconciling in relationships, even when we still feel hurt. It means treating each other with mercy and understanding, especially when we can conjure up neither. It means refusing to judge others, even if we think we have all the facts, but rather leaving the judging to God. And in a very real sense, denying ourselves and taking up our crosses quite literally means acting as we know God would act toward us when we don't quite measure up to expectations. Are we ever going to get that right? No. But the good news is we don't have to, because Jesus got it right for us. But don't forget, even he stumbled under the weight of a cross, but that didn't stop him from his destination. And the result was the miracle of Easter. Take up your cross and follow, Jesus says. Help bear the load for another when their burden is too great. And let others help you help bear your burden when your cross seems too heavy. But all the time, keep walking the path, living life to its fullest, cherishing and celebrating the stuff that really matters and letting go of the stuff that doesn't, and dancing with the abundance of God's blessings. And regardless of what we might get caught up in along the way, don't forget Easter, because it truly does mean everything. God love you. Amen.